I think most of you know that I am an immigrant. I came from Cuba to the United States when I was 10 years old. That was a long time ago. I mention it because one of the interesting things that has run across my mind is, in terms of religion, sometimes converts to Catholicism make the best Catholics because they've had to go through the process of thinking it through. I say that because I think analogously, sometimes immigrants make the best citizens because we have had to go through the process of thinking it out. I'm saying that as a preamble to the fact that I am particularly attracted to the study of what it means to be an American. And how does that relate to my Catholic faith? Those two things are fundamental identities for me. The fact that I am an American, but first and foremost, that I am a disciple of Jesus. And 90% of the time, maybe even higher, the two do not seem to have any conflict. I find that my Catholic, my Christian faith is many times expressed in the ideals of being an American. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't mean that we achieve, as Martin Luther King once said, that we need to achieve the content of our creed as a nation, because we have not. We fall far short of it. But it's an interesting perspective that being an American, like being a Catholic, is part of professing a creed. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but for example, if you moved to France, you're never going to be a Frenchman. If you moved to Spain, you're never going to be a Spaniard. Move to Mexico, you're never going to be a Mexican. But if you move to the United States, you can become an American. And the reason is that being an American is about subscribing to a creed, a set of propositions. And again, the reason I'm talking about this is because I'm constantly thinking about the contrast between my creed as a disciple of Jesus, as a Catholic, and my creed that is the creed of my adopted country, the United States. And as I said, 90% or even higher is something that I agree with. I have no problems. Especially, for example, in one of my most beloved documents, which is the Declaration of Independence. When we begin in the Declaration of Independence, what you're hearing is the American founders reaching back to Christianity and to Israel to lay down the foundation. It's always an interesting thing to me how people walk around blithely saying that there's a fundamental separation of church and state, when they're actually meaning that there's a fundamental separation between religion and the public life of the United States. But when you listen to the Declaration of Independence, its beginning, it's 100% religious. 100%. When you begin by saying, we the people, no, not that, that's the Constitution. That the fact that we hold these truths to be self-evident. What's another word for self-evident? That you have faith in something, right? We have faith in these truths. And what are they? They're all, almost all of them, Christian, Jewish Christian. That all men are created equal. Bingo. No problem. Because that is fundamental to the Catholic understanding, to the Christian and Jewish understanding. That they are endowed by their Creator. Again, a Creator. If you study other religions, there is no such thing as a creator, for example, in Buddhism or in Hinduism. So there is a creator that endows us with inalienable rights. And that among these are, and the big ones, life and liberty. So far, 100% agreement. Until you get to the third one. And that's what I'd like to talk about today in reference to the Ascension. I bet you were thinking, how is he going to relate this to the Ascension? What is the third one? The pursuit of happiness. Right? Now, here's the problem. That is not a Christian value. The pursuit of happiness is actually a value that comes from what's called the Enlightenment, which is a philosophical trend of the 17th and 18th and 19th centuries. And why do I say that that's not Christian? Because as a Christian, we are not called to pursue happiness. We're called to pursue something, but not happiness. And I'll get into that. Now, why am I talking about that today? Because when Jesus ascends to heaven, he gives all of his disciples, not just priests and sisters and brothers, he gives all of us orders. He gives all of us orders. He says, go. Go to all nations. Teach. Baptize. Make them disciples. So that the Christian understanding of life, of what you and I ought to pursue, is the pursuit of our orders. I don't know if you've ever thought about this. I often ask people, what is the sacrament that makes me a priest? And of course, the answer is holy orders. Take away the adjective. If you take away the adjective, holy, you get orders. Why are we under orders? Because Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been granted to me. And then, based on that, he says to all of his disciples, here is the purpose of your life. Go. Make it disciples of all nations. Go. So the Christian, every Christian, has a mission in life. And the mission in life that all of us have is primarily to put God first and to ask God, what are my orders? What are my orders? Now, please understand, everybody's not called to be a priest, of course, or a religious sister. But it's an interesting thing, in my opinion, to relate this, for example, to being in the armed services. When you're in the armed services, you are under orders. Now, that doesn't mean that at every moment you know exactly what you're doing. There are some times that you are under general orders. In other words, you belong to a company, or you belong to a platoon, or you're in the Army, or you're in the Navy. You have a commanding officer. Now, within those orders, your unit may be deployed to different places. And so inside orders, there are further definition of orders, so that you may be assigned to a submarine, or you may be assigned to a carrier. And inside that orders to a particular job, inside, say, for example, an aircraft carrier, you have a specific job inside that aircraft carrier. Now, it's the same thing for Christians. We are all under orders by Jesus. If you want, literally, he is the commanding officer. He is the commander-in-chief, way above Obama. Okay, way above. And so all of us, I remember today was very interesting because this morning we had confirmation. The bishop was here, the retired bishop of Bishop Carmody, the retired bishop of Corpus Christi. And when I was growing up, when I was confirmed, one of the things that I was taught was that confirmation made you a soldier of Christ. A soldier of Christ. Now, again, there's that imagery. The imagery of being a soldier means that you're under orders, and that your first obligation is to listen to the commander-in-chief. It's not about pursuing happiness. Now, please understand, I'm not saying by that that God wants you to be unhappy, but I am saying that a Christian understands that happiness is a byproduct of following orders. When you do in your life, to the best of your ability, what you believe God wants you to do as a response to your baptism, when you take your responsibilities, when you do to the best of your knowledge what you ought to do, you will experience peace and happiness. As long as you pursue happiness, you will always find it to be elusive. You will never be able to grasp it. Because we define happiness in very many superficial ways. You know, I want a new house. I want a new this. I want a new that. And that's going to make me happy. Now, please understand, I have no problem with wanting a new stuff. Okay? Periodically, we all have to buy new stuff. Otherwise, other people are going to be out of a job. Okay? Everybody needs new stuff. I'm waiting for my Apple Watch right now. Okay? So I'm not hypocritical about it. I like my new iPhone. Okay? I'm not saying don't buy new stuff. Buy new stuff. Don't get too bad into debt. But buy new stuff because people need jobs. But the point is, don't think that that's going to make you happy. Because at no time, I don't care how much stuff you buy, I don't care how much you seek for the brand new relationship in your life, or the brand new job, or the brand new this. Yes, it will bring you a measure of happiness. But it will be all elusive. Because happiness in and of itself cannot be pursued. You must first and foremost pursue your obligation to be who God calls you to be. He is, using that imagery, your commanding officer. Once you do your duty to the best of your knowledge at that moment, you will experience the peace and the sense of direction and purpose that you will call happiness. That's the whole point of the ascension. Notice that at the ascension, Jesus gives the church a mission. In other words, the mission of your life is not seeking happiness. The mission of your life is to work out what it means for you to obey the command of Jesus. And all of us go through all kinds of different, you know, deepening of understanding. You're not going to understand how God is calling you at every moment and what it is that you're supposed to do. But if you make that your priority, if you make the priority of saying, Father, I want to know what it is that you want me to do, even though it may not be more clear than just for today, if you make that your priority and do your best every day to the best of your conscience to follow what God wants you to do, you will have the byproduct called happiness. But the moment you do what the Declaration of Independence says, you're up the creek, because you're not going to find it if you pursue it. And so, you know, we remember today that first and foremost, our allegiance is not first and foremost to the United States of America. Our allegiance is first and foremost to the Lord Jesus. He is the commanding officer. Insofar as America reflects the commands that come to us from Jesus, we will follow them. Insofar as they do not, we will disobey them, beginning with the pursuit of happiness. The problem, of course, is that too many of us have bought into it. And when you ask too many of us, what is it that you want out of life? We all answer with, I want a house, I want money, I want this, I want that. You've bought into the lie that that's going to make you happy. You bought into it, one day you'll wake up and you'll go, oh my God, I figured out that that's not what's going to make me happy. And so today, the ascension reminds us who is in command. Folks, all of us are under orders. Go, and the mission that was given to us was not just given to priests. It was given to all of us. And we have to make God first, obey Him first. And insofar as our country and other responsibilities come into play, as long as they reflect what God is asking us to do, we will obey them.